And I know His Spirit soon will be me to give my all.
Speaks to me.
Oh, aren't you glad that He does?
And I take control. I feel the pull.
Oh, let's stand and sing it.
I feel the pull.
Feel the pull.
Lord, I hear Your call.
I hear the call.
And I know Your Spirit's moving me.
Yes, He does.
And I,
Lord, we agree.
Lord, please come, take control.
I feel the pull. One more time with all your heart. I feel the pull.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight you can feel that pull?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? And Brother Terry, what an incredible journey we took in the Word of the Lord. It just gets better all the time. Turn around and look at somebody and say, it gets better all the time. It just gets better all the time, brethren, don't it? I mean that. It gets better all the time, don't it? Praise the Lord, Brother Larry. You're looking good tonight, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Play a little bit more of that. Let's sing that one more time, if you will. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them they're looking well tonight. You're looking good, brother. God bless you, Brother Terry. You're looking good tonight, buddy. Good to see you. Play some of it, brethren. Brother Tracy, you're looking well tonight, brother. Good to see you. Play the song. Play the song.
Glory.
Blessed be the Lord. Oh, let's sing that together one more time, if you will.
I feel the pull.
I hear the call.
And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all.
He speaks.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for speaking to us.
In my soul, I
thank you, Lord, for letting us know.
Lord, please come, take control. I feel the pull.
Yes, I feel the
Look at our prayer request tonight. Brother Lance, if you will, get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Brother Abe Dykes from Texas. Been very sick today. We want to pray for our brother that the Lord would give him a healing tonight in his body. Sister Cynthia Parker sends us in to please pray for our neighbor's newborn baby. The doctors are waiting on blood work. We need for it to come back negative. They think he has a fatal genetic disease. So let's pray for that child tonight, that family, as they're going through probably the most difficult time of their life. Let's just pray that God would wrap his arms around them and love them real good tonight. Want to pray for Brother Brian Arnold. Had 3 seizures in the last 12 hours. Sister Aretha sends that prayer request in. Want to pray for Brandon Queen, who has a large tumor in his lung. Brother Dal Orndorff sends that in tonight. Please continue to pray for Brother Joel Moyer's health and job situation. The library submits that request tonight. Sister Natalie Yance was admitted to the hospital in Chicago for a blood clot that has developed in her leg due to the radiation treatments. Continue to remember her daily in your prayers. We just want to pray that the Lord would just give Sister Natalie a brand new zeal, a brand new confidence that he is more than able to take care of the situation. And whatever God has for her, I know it's going to be good. If she stays or if she goes, it's going to be good. I believe that, don't you? Amen. Let's just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Sister Barron wants us to remember her son for traveling mercies. He's going to be out of the country until May or until March the 6th. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight also. Her neighbor who has a broken leg, just really discouraged. So let's remember that need tonight. Also, Sister Barron wants to thank the Lord. He answered a prayer request she was holding in her heart. He answered that on yesterday, and she wants to praise the Lord for that. Brother Terry Horn says, please remember Sister Alice tonight in prayer, not feeling well. So we just pray that the Lord would help her tonight. Brother Reese wants to thank the Lord for touching him. He was burning some brush with his son. Burned his fingers and his thumb, but the Lord has healed them, and he wants to praise God for that tonight. All of our local assembly, there's needs among us. I know if you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray for, we're serving an all-sufficient God tonight, aren't we? We say that every time almost that we get up here, but I say it because you agree with me, and you say it because you know it's the truth. He is all-sufficient. He's everything we need. He's more than enough to meet the need tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Lance, God bless you. Come tonight, lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit all these things unto our Heavenly Father. We know he's more than able, don't we? Appreciate Brother Lance tonight. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, when I stop for a moment and I think of this earth that we live on, and all the people that's on it, dear God. And then I think of you as you look down upon us, dear Lord, and it seems that we're so insignificant. But dear God, for some reason, you choose to connect with some of these people. You choose to actually take some time and pull on their hearts and pull on their souls. You allow them to feel a pull. And it's not just a pull from some other person, but it's a pull from the very heart of God. And when I think, dear Lord, that I'm just one of those people who feels a pull from the Almighty, And I'm gathered with a group of people that feels a pull from the Almighty, dear Lord. Not only am I gathered with a group that feels it, but I'm gathered with a group that has answered the pull. Because I know there's been many people tonight, dear Lord, they've been pulled knowing they should go to church. There's something about God that makes their heart tug, and they think about you, but they never act. But dear Lord, I want to thank you tonight for allowing us to act on the pull. Because we know, dear God, there's a deep there within us responding to your depths. And we thank you for it, dear Lord. And as these people, dear God, I feel that we're the ones with a right to talk to the great puller, dear God. We can bow our heads and we can come before your throne and we can know, dear God, that we have a relationship with you, for you have pulled and we have answered, and now there's communication that's been opened. So, dear God, we want to bow our heads with humility and with thanksgiving, and we want to come before you, dear God, and ask you to come and just be in the midst of these people. You heard every request, dear Lord. You know how hard certain things are. You see Sister Natalie and everything that she's been through the last little while. Dear God, we know that you are able and more than able to do anything. You can touch her tonight, Lord. We know, dear God, within an instant, dear Lord, that you can raise her up and there be no more problems. One minute there can be her whole body afflicted, and in the next blink of an eye there can be nothing, because you are that big. There's nothing too great for you, Lord Jesus. You see my cousin, dear God, down in Mississippi. Right now, him and his wife tore all to pieces with their new baby, Lord, thinking any minute that the poor thing could die. Dear God, I just come before you. We come as a body of believers. We come as those that have been pulled tonight, dear God. We come as those that have answered the voice of God, that has answered your request. And we come, dear Lord, believing and wanting you. And we ask you, dear God, to touch the child, Lord Jesus. Always let thy will be done, dear Lord. But if it be pleasing to you to show your power, I pray that you touch him, dear Lord. May those tests come back negative, that that disease would not be fatal, dear God, but that this could be an absolute reality of the glory of God in their lives, that they might be able to go rejoicing. I pray, dear God, for each request that was written down, each hand that was raised. We know, Lord, that you are the Almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth. We know there's nothing too great for you, and we rely completely upon you, dear Lord. We lay upon you. Our faith is on you and nothing else, because there's nowhere else we can go, only to the power and the grace and the glory of God. And Lord Jesus, to you, we're going to give the praise. To you, we're going to give the honor. To you, we're going to love you, and we're going to tell the people what you've done and how great you are in our lives every day through the good and the bad. We thank you for it, dear Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Believe in these things with faith. Amen.
Man, thank you, Brother Lance. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank God for victory. Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus tonight? Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Those that are streaming tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well as they stream the services. Let's sing that little chorus together just before we have our congregational song tonight. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, may we have the testimony. We're still going to praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Oh, yes, now I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store,
store, I will praise the Lord.
Years, we'll just be getting started. And we're going to get started on this side so we won't have to practice up when we get there. I want to already be practiced up, don't you? How many of you feel like he's worthy to be praised tonight? How many of you know that he loves for you to lift them old tired, bony hands of yours? He likes to see them lifted up, praising his name. He's done too much for every one of us for us to not praise him. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. With all your heart. Soon I'll come. 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, and we just begun.
And the battles are over.
Just begun.
hurry.
Our battles are over.
Oh, yes, they are.
Sweet victory won.
Sweet victory won.
10,000 years. And we just begun.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, you're just singing too good. I tell you the truth. You don't know how much easier it is to stand here when you're doing what you're doing out there. If you ever stand here by yourself, it's the worst feeling in the world. It's terrible, ain't Brother Lance. It's terrible. It's terrible. But when you got people that sing and praise God, it's not really that bad of a job. Amen. Let's sing a chorus just before our pastor comes tonight to bring us the word of the Lord. Are you looking forward to the message tonight? Somebody say, I'm really looking forward to it. Somebody say, I'm really going to pray for Brother Donnie. And God's really going to talk to me tonight. Now give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Let it rain, Brother Harry. Let it rain. Let's sing this little chorus as our pastor comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Don't you appreciate our pastor? Amen. Don't you appreciate what God's given us? Amen. We're certainly not all the puzzle, but we're just a little bitty piece of it. And it's so good to be part of it, Brother Terry. It's so good to be part of that puzzle. Aren't you glad that there's a little game called connecting the dots? Aren't you glad you connected? I'm glad we're connected tonight, aren't you? Amen. Let's sing this chorus, if you will. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, tonight. Chapter 12, verse 1. Are we up and going, brothers, or not? We are. Okay. Well, they told me beforehand our computer might be down. We might not have quotes tonight. But Brother Michael thought we almost might have to cancel church if we couldn't have quotes up on the screen. I said, no, I think we'll just go ahead and have it. Modern technology is wonderful when it works, isn't it? I want to speak to you tonight on my revelation, my thorn. My revelation, my thorn. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Let's bow our heads together. How many like to be remembered before the Lord tonight? You got something on your heart, a need, a request. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have the means of prayer, that we're able to come into your presence, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful, dear God, that you have made a way that we could be reconciled. We are thankful that we're living under the domain of the Messiah kingdom. We are so thankful that we have become your dominion in this earth. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your grace has illuminated our hearts and our lives to the day that we live. We are thankful, Lord, that we can come together. Oh, how I appreciate so much a building where we can come together. Lord, I think of different people around the world and the message, and many of them don't have their own church, don't have their own building, have to go to a school or an auditorium and have to set up the PA equipment, the music and all that every time they go to church. Here we are, Father, have our own building and it paid for and able to come three nights a week. And oh God, I thank you for it. Three services. We so appreciate it, dear God. I pray, Lord, may it always be a great thankfulness in our heart towards you for you to be able to come to the house of God. Take your word tonight, I pray, Father, and break it. Is that you only are the only one who can take the bread of life and break it and make it to where we can be able to digest it tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's read, if you would, again, verse 7 tonight, and then we'll begin from here. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Now listen carefully. A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And the word exalted is to exalt oneself, to lift or raise up over something. To lift oneself up, be haughty, to carry oneself haughtily, to behave insolent. Now, you think of what would lack in this man's experience that would allow him to be this way. Was it the Holy Ghost was weak? His own new birth wasn't strong enough? That he had less than what we have today? What was it that would make this man to where that he would have the potential of having this type of a feeling? Well, we understand already it's because of this flesh not being born again. And if Paul was left with this in his being, then I wonder what about us in this day that we're living. And we know that this does not come from the very heart of God. Actually, it originated, as we looked at it last Wednesday night, from the heart of the devil. And I guess that's one thing that, as I've looked at this, that so bothers me as an individual. Knowing that after my conversion, after my new birth, after my changing, after being transformed, translated, moved from one dimension to another, that yet in my flesh is still left the very desire that was in Satan's heart. Now, if you can imagine it tonight, every one of us, whether you're man, woman, boy or girl, black, white, red, yellow, rich, poor, bond or free, whatever you are, that every mortal that come to the earth after the seed line was crossed, then it left in every one of those mortals this desire that was inside of Satan's heart. Now, it originated in him, but once he was able to inject this into the human race, then every person, no matter what they were, you know, you've seen people, and you know as well as I do, that many people that have the attitude that they are better than you, it's actually they're worth less as far as money than you are. And they may have less stuff, but they have that attitude. You know why? Because that attitude comes from within them. It's not really based upon just what they're worth. So they can have a Volkswagen, or they could have drove a bicycle to church and eat bologna sandwiches four times a day, and you could eat steak five times a day, but yet they still feel better than you because it's something in them that makes them somehow convinced that they are better than you are. Which I don't understand that. I don't understand how anybody could think they're better than anybody else. I could understand you thinking you're richer than somebody else, or you got more houses or more coats or more shoes or something like that. But to think that people are better, what makes someone better than someone else? When we're all born in sin, shape iniquity, come of the world, speaking lies, and we're everyone lost. We all need a Savior. We all need redemption. And we all stand on the same plateau after we're redeemed. So there's none that's better than the other, but yet there's something about the flesh that has that potential, even after the new birth, to lean that way. Now here Paul, it was not the danger that Paul would think that he was more wealthy than others, or that he was more handsome, or something like that, but that he was heaven's pick. He was heaven's choice above his brothers because he had been exalted. Now, I know it may seem like a paradox too, but yet those who walk the closest to God are those who are in the most danger of this type of pride. Now, this type of pride is aimed more at the more revelated type of people than it would be those carnal church members who really, you know, they go to church every now and then. They really don't know what it's about anyway. They're just kind of there. That's not really aimed at them. They'll have pride too, but it won't be quite in this same way. But in this direction, it will be toward those that has been given divine favor. But yet the flesh somehow has the ability to take divine favor, which was not given to the flesh anyway. It was given on the account of the soul, but because the flesh is unconverted, the flesh will still take that and wants to get puffed up as if though the flesh had something to brag about. And it don't. I don't care how much God's been good to all of us and how much He's revealed His word to all of us, yet our flesh has nothing to glory in anyway. But yet here was this great man of God, this great prophet of God. As a matter of fact, he was the greatest of all, but yet he was in danger of spiritual pride. Now remember, a natural pride can be so different, and most of us probably in our mind we're saying, well, somebody that combs their hair a certain way, my, their car's got to be spotless, you know, and they can't have a wrinkle in their clothes, and we identify that as pride. Now that may be a natural pride, but that's not spiritual pride. Spiritual pride has to do with spiritual things. So here this man that was so revelated by the Spirit of God, carried up into the third heaven, saw things and heard things that he couldn't even say, couldn't even utter it for 14 years until after it happened. But yet there was something left in the man that was not changed by the conversion. And that was the part that was still susceptible to this pride. Now there is no sin so subtle as pride. There is no sin you think of somebody that smokes, somebody's got a problem with pornography or some of these other things, but yet many of them, it's an outside, and you watch them and you'll see it. But yet pride can be something that can be buried so deep within an individual, and sometimes there's only certain people that really break that pride out. There's certain people that you're able to get along with and it don't seem like they rake you bad, but there's others, it just seems like they just push your buttons. Now don't you sit there and look at me like you're a bunch of angels. I don't care who you are, unless you're just a 6-month-old baby, there's somebody that can push your buttons. And I guarantee you know who they are. And the devil knows who they are. And they can just get under your skin. And there ain't enough room for them and you both under your skin. I guarantee you that they know exactly what to do, and it's not really so much them anyway, but it's the enemy that does that. And yes, sometimes God will allow the enemy to do it to show us that we have weaknesses in those areas of our lives. Now watch, then this type of a pride is characterized by, it's a spiritual something that it would look and say, well, God must really love me. I must have really found favor in the eyes of God. And boy, I'll tell you what, God really thinks I'm something. And I would like to read to you from Experiences 1948. You won't hear this read very often, if ever. But I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to listen. Brother Bram says, standing in the pulpit, I got up to Balaam preaching to you all, and I seen the angel standing in the way. And Balaam could not see it. It was a mule he was riding on. He was in a narrow way, going to a narrow place, like where a gate come through. And the angel appeared, and the mule saw it. And Balaam couldn't see the angel of the Lord. How that he disobeyed God. So then when I did that, I seen what the appearing of the angel was, and I realized for my first time what a mistake that I had made. I had made an assertion to the people of the power of God that even the Son of God never made. Now, Brother Branham, what he's done, now this is 1948, Brother Branham has stood up before the people in the prayer lines and he's made a challenge whether people believed or whether they didn't believe that God would heal them anyway. Didn't make no difference what they had or whether they even believed or not. Well, glory. Some of y'all know that I was going to preach this. You'd stay at the house. Now watch, he said, watch what a mistake I made. Now I realize the quote of God's prophets make no mistakes, but I also realize that quote has to somehow coincide with this quote. Right. Notice this now. I made an assertion to the power of God that even the Son of God never made a statement like that. I made a challenge to bring what was healed right here on the platform. How it must, he must have been so good to me to let me get by with such a thing as that. Even if they didn't believe or not. Because I knew the strength of the power of God. And how God let me get by with that, I do not know. Because Jesus Christ, there was many works that he could not do, is that scripture? Because of their unbelief. Look at the power that was in him. And then merely with the gift of healing challenged anything. Now, Brother Branham knew he had a special place with God. He knew he had a special call with God. That's what allowed him to do this. Thought he was highly favored, and he was. You see what highly favored can do? It can lead you to a spot to where it will lead you out of the will of God if you're not careful. And you see, that's the mindset that goes around this message, is that we are all bride. And being bride, we're allowed special things and we have special favors and special understanding and special, 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 special. So if we're not careful, that special will go to this. Now this don't need to think it's special because it already does anyhow. Glory. Well, I'm going to say tonight's going to be a quiet night for you folks. There's a lot of folks on these cameras here watching y'all. If I believe I'd say amen or nod my head because they're going to be thinking, what's the matter with them people? Now, look at this. Brother Man says, Jesus Christ, because of their unbelief, he could not heal them. Yet Brother Branham stood up there and said, whether you believe or not, God's going to heal you. I love this man. I love this man. Oh, he didn't bleach all of his mistakes out and hide them, but he told us about them. Glory. Notice he said he let me go for 6 months and get by with that. Then it began to break my heart when I seen what I had done. And I tried to hold up before you people and preach, and I just couldn't do it. It melted me down right there. And I come to the pulpit and I seen that I was preaching and telling how bad Balaam was. And I was sitting in Balaam's shoes. Oh, praise the Lord. Preaching about Balaam. And here Brother Branham was in Balaam's shoes. Glory to God. I imagine some of the folks are just about passed out about right now. They cannot believe. I'd read this. Why? If I'm going to preach this message, I have rights to preach it all. Even quotes, it's off limits. This ain't off limits to me. This is part of the message. There's a benefit in your life. Because human pride can become so intertwined in what you're called to do. You begin to think you're such a good provider. You begin to think you're such a good housewife and a good this and that and the other. Remember, you need God for your menial daily tasks, my friends. If you begin to think you're such a good provider, boy, I've always been able to make a living. I've always been. You better be careful. A preacher thinks he can preach without the anointing. The Lord may let him try for a while and say he lacks it. Oh, my. Notice he said, I preached how bad Balaam was and I was in Balaam's shoes. I was doing the things the angel of the Lord nut me up there and said, don't do. I'd been wondering. He hadn't visited me for 6 months. And he said I was confining too much on the gift of healing and performing miracles. 1952, he went back into the same cycle again, and he comes around and says, I wish I would have never performed a miracle openly before anybody. Because it gets them to the place that's all they want to see is miracles. Now, notice how Brother Branham now different somewhat in the way that Paul was, but yet still the human part of this flesh that's unconverted and having such confidence in the power of God. And God let him go right on now for 6 months and challenge this and challenge that and challenge that. And when he went to preaching on Balaam, he gets under conviction and sees himself in the preaching of the word. Now, remember, it was Satan's desire in his heart to elevate himself above what God made him to be. Now, God had already made him to be the greatest angel. He was the epitome of, he was the height of God's creation, the angels, the cherubim, the seraphims, all of that. But yet he wanted to be above even what God had made him to be. So he said, thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will raise above the stars of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the pit. I shall lay thee before kings, and they shall narrowly look upon thee, consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth and the nations to tremble? So we can see that once Satan was able to inject himself into the human race, he did not need to get another serpent out of the Garden of Eden. He did not need to get another woman. But he was able to project this fallen thing of pride in all of the human race. Now, this crosses every racial barrier, whether you're black, white, red, yellow. A black man can be as proud as he can be, and a white man can be just as opposite and just as proud as he can be. A big church can be eat up with pride, and a little church can be eat up with it too. A preacher who gets to go out and preach all over the world and everywhere, he can be eat up with pride. And the preacher that don't get called, he can be eat up with pride. But he'll say, bless God, if they preach the truth the way I preached it, they'd never call them either. So he's proud he ain't called. Some folks are proud because they're pretty. Other folks are proud because they're ugly. I'm glad I don't look like her. I'm glad I ain't handsome. Some folks are proud they're rich. Other folks are proud that they're poor. Some folks are proud that they can work 70 hours a week. Other folks are proud they can't work. They can draw a check. It don't make no difference who you are or what class you fit into. We're all contaminated. Well, glory. Now, the only human being after the fall that is not contaminated by this. When he comes to the earth, even though he doesn't have it, he subjects himself to feeling as if though he did. Now, he wasn't born with a show-off mentality. I realize there ain't nobody here that's got it, but you know how this internet is. Notice and how can I overcome? Brother Bam said the next great assault that he made upon him, upon Jesus, that he would be a show-off. Oh my. How that does hit God's servants. Amen. To be a show-off. You understand what Brother Bam was doing this quote I read you a while ago? He's been a show-off. Amen. Singers can be show-offs. Preachers can be show-offs. Sunday school teachers. Dirt bags can be show-offs. You can understand people who can do things. But you ever notice how many people there are that can't do nothing? And they're still show-offs too. I mean, you can understand somebody that can really do something and say, man, I can say, oh, they really have a problem. But there are some folks that can't do nothing. They can't say nothing. And they ain't got nothing to do nothing with. fellowship of. But now here is the only one who was not born with this after the fall. But he must experience it. For every one of his children will feel this show-off temptation. This pride to lift yourself up above another. Now notice how that hits God's servants to be a show-off. To show what you can do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a deliverer. Oh my goodness. Not glory to God, I got a new Cadillac. Not glory to God, look at my house. Not glory to God, I got more clothes than you do, but glory to God, I'm a deliverer. Doing something you're actually called to do. But all it takes, you see, is for it to move from the soul over into the flesh. Isn't it amazing how that many great songwriters, gospel music, you know, and God will give them a song, and oh, it'll be a hit, as we say. And then maybe they'll get another one. Now, if they'll keep that inspiration and that desire from the soul, they'll have a years and years and years of success. Of God using them and writing great songs. But if it ever moves from that soul over into that flesh, then what you'll see is that songwriter still writing songs and you're listening to them, but it ain't quite the same. And you're thinking, what is it? I know it's the same woman. I know it's the same man. I love their voice. I know it's the same. Why don't it move me? A change took place. A change. And God cannot, friend, do you understand? God cannot use us with this type of pride. God cannot continue. Oh, sure, it can go on for 6 months as it did with Brother Branham. It can go on with a year or however long, but God cannot continue to use an individual when that moves from their soul over into their flesh and they become so proud. They'll still write songs, just like a preacher will still preach. But there's something not there. Something not right about it. And you think, what is it? It's the same with a Christian. As long as you're consecrated to the presence of God and walking that life from your soul. But if you get pride, I don't even take an aspirin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's been 40 years since I've even took any Vicks 44. Man, I've got such faith. Do you understand? You are talking like the devil. That is nothing but arrogance and pride. Glory to God. Glory to God. My faith is so strong. I'll tell you one thing. I believe I could just about do anything. I don't believe you. Brother Ben says a believer is the faith of God in you. That has nothing to do with you. Then your great faith, you, I can do. That has nothing to do with you. That great faith is God's faith. It's not mine, Brother Terry. It's not yours. How many times has that human faith give in? But yet the flesh will take God's faith. God's faith can move through us. And the flesh will grab a hold of it and glory in that. I laid my hands on so-and-so. They done this. I done so-and-so. Boy, I had my back up against the wall. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I believed. I believed. Man, I'll tell you. Glory to God, I got so much faith. I don't even have Tylenol in my house. I've got faith. And I have Tylenol too. Because not only did God give me faith, He gave me some common sense. Glory.
Brother Donnie, don't tell me. Don't tell me. You take that on off.
If I need one, yes.
Oh, that ruins my faith in you. Well, then you don't need to be serving God. God himself used remedies. Jesus Christ spit down in some dirt and made some mud cakes and put it on the blind man's eyes in John 9 and said, go wash. He sent the prophet Isaiah down to take a lump of figs and put on a cancer in the king's body, and God made him well through a remedy. Praise the Lord. Glory. Watch this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a deliverer, see. Come up on top of the temple and set him down there. He tempted him to do it. And I remember he was tempted to do it. It was hard. Jesus actually felt like a show off. I'll show you what I can do, you devil. I mean, if you could be justified before anybody to being a show off, of showing the power of God, you'd think you'd be justified doing it in front of the devil. But not when you're acting like him. Can you see what that would have done to Jesus? Brother Jim, that would have brought our Lord Jesus down on the same level as Satan himself. To be a show off, a braggart, to show what he can do. But you see, it was beneath Jesus to do such a thing. You realize what I'm preaching to you tonight is rapturing material. Bride, when the bride in her thinking, in your flesh, it'll always be there. What's going to happen when your thinking will transcend this? When your thinking will move to a spot to where you look at being a show off and being arrogant and proud, where you will look at that as being beneath you as a child of God, not part of you. When it's in my nature, then bury that nature. Oh my. Notice he was tempted, he said, to do it hard. He said, if you want to be something before the people, stand up here in this temple and jump off. I'll give you scripture for it. Because it's written, he'd give the angels charge over thee lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone, he'd bear thee up. Try to make him a show off. Now what's he doing? He's trying to tempt Jesus into jump down, Jesus. Prove who you are. My, no true servant of God ever does that, he says. You see a man showing off his chest out and all like that, just remember, there's something wrong there. God don't want that. Jesus set the example. He could have done it. He certainly could have done it, but he didn't do it. No servant of God is a show off of himself. Try to take God's power and show himself above somebody else. Remember in Satan's temptation to Eve, he must come by the same way. So he comes through three avenues. This is his first time to ever test a mortal. But somehow he had an insight or an inclination that this would work through these three assets of the human being. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. Now when he tempts her in this way, she saw that the serpent was more handsome than her husband. And then she began to feel an enticement in her flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You say, how was that? Because he made her believe God was trying to keep something from her. And she could be more. She could be more. She could know more than what God was telling her. And her pride reached with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to be more than what God was letting her be. Don't you understand? That's how it attacks us today. for many of our girls and say, well, why do I have to quit cutting my hair? Why do I have to can't wear slacks? I can't do this. I can't. All the rest of the people do this. Don't you understand it's the same devil? You young boys, don't you understand it's your pastor? I'm not trying to keep anything good and wholesome and righteous away from you. If smoking cigarettes was good from you, I'd buy you a truckload of them. If drinking alcohol would make you godly and holy and make you a better servant on earth, I'd buy you a train load of it. But it won't. And I try my best to give you what will make you sons and daughters of God and make you faithful to the cause of Christ. Notice this in the latest in church age. Brother Ben says, now, what are we to overcome? That is the normal question to ask here. But that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it's not so much what we are to overcome, but how. If you can learn how, then no matter what's in front of you, you can take it. But if you're just going to focus on one thing of what, then the next thing will change. You're totally at a loss. But learn how. Amen. Notice how we are to overcome. Now this is logical, for it doesn't matter what we are to overcome as long as we know how we can overcome. A quick look at those scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out the truth of this proposition. In Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil, he overcame, listen, the personal temptations of Satan by the word and by the word only. I mean, Jesus never used any gifts, any anointing, feeling, circumstance. What did he use? Well, why do you use that and you feel like you're powerless? Why do you feel like when you feel no anointing and you say, well, I use the word, oh, I use the word. You're saying as if that's inferior. We make it sound as if though by using the word, that's not enough power. My friend, if we only knew how powerful it was. In each of these three major trials, they corresponded exactly, now watch this, to the temptation of the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So Jesus is tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he overcome all three. That's why no matter what you go through, they come through these means. All are the same. Whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in India, whether you're in Indonesia, whether you're in the United States, it works exactly the same way. Three simple steps. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father. They're the King of the North. Now watch this. Jesus overcame by the word. He fell to the personal temptation. Notice this. Notice how she comes now. Personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word, but Jesus overcame by the word. And right now let me say this, this is the only one to be an overcomer. Also is the only way you can know if you are overcoming, because that word can't fail. Your feelings are lie to you. Circumstances are lie to you, but that word will never fail. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now look at these words, pride of life. Hunting after honor, titles, pedigree, boasting of ancestry and family connections. And the Syriac and the Arabic translation of this says, the pride of the age. The pride of the age. So the pride of the age of Ephesus would be different than our age. Or the pride of the age of Smyrna. Come on now. So what is going to be, what is going to make up the multi-aspect of the pride of this age? Do you understand? Part of the pride of this age will be us being able to resist the spiritual pride that goes around this message. Well, we're Malachi 4 people. We're message people. We're bride. We don't need a pastor. We don't need this. We don't need that. You understand when people say that? You know what they're saying? They are full of pride. They think they can stay home and read their Bible and listen to a tape and they don't need no further gifts. That's the devil talking. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Oh my. So this is of the world. Watch this. Fred Soffman loses his keys. He asks Brother Branham to pray. God would help him to find them. Brother Branham prays. Fred Soffman walks right to them. Now listen to how Brother Branham deals with this. He tells the story. And he says, see, he's just God. That's all. He's just God. He's just all the time, constantly from one place to another. One place to another. No matter what the trouble is, he's God. We don't go around and brag about these things. We're not supposed to. Just don't let your right hand know what your left hand. We know that the right hand's doing. We talk it among ourselves, but we don't blast that out somewhere because that's. Of course, we don't call it that. We call it testifying. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We brag on Brother Branham. We brag on this man. We brag on that man. We brag on ourselves. We brag on, but we do it under the guise of, oh, I'm testifying. Glory to God.
Amen.
Are you really? Now, can you imagine that Brother Branham said these things? Well, this is wonderful. That God would move upon a man. He's looked and can't find his keys. Many of you have done the same thing. I've done the same thing too. And yet God, but yet why is it that the message people, for Brother Branham to pray that way and for it to move, oh my, it's just colossal. But what if you lose your keys and you call me and I pray and the same thing happens? It's not as great though, somehow. Or they just remembered where they put them. Well, maybe Fred Hoffman remembered where he put his. Why is it? Now notice what self-pride does. Self-pride picks where it wants the glory to go and then robs the same manifestation from others. Now that's not my definition. Watch how Brother Bram deals with this. He says, because that self-pride, like God, only could do it. Oh. So self-pride would to be brag on Brother Branham or brag on your pastor or whoever it was, your mama, your daddy. Oh my God, boy, I tell you, they're praying God done this and God done that. And as if though God couldn't do it for nobody else, then that's self-pride. Then when we brag on Brother Branham, when we put Brother Branham to a place where God just don't move no more because Brother Branham ain't here, you understand what we're doing? We are bragging. It is self-pride. Then we rob our own selves and our children from the same God doing the same thing. Glory. I could stand up here for the next 3 weeks. 3 services a week. And just read testimonies of people that Brother Brown prayed for. Take them straight from the tapes. Straight from the Voice of God website. And tell the great things that God has done. Some of you by the end of that 3 weeks will be nearly ready to a body change. You'll think, Lord have mercy, we're right on the verge of the rapture. This is it. Glory to God, this is it. And if I took one service only, and told you some of the things that same Lord Jesus has done right here in our church, not by Brother Branham praying for the people, but for other ministers here, you'd think was bragging. Why? Because you're so anointed with self-pride. Your self picks which is God and which isn't. Yourself picks which can be said and glorify God and which cannot. Do you understand what this does to us? It destroys us. This type of attitude destroys us. This is why for many of the message people, they have no move of God at all. They have none in their churches. Many of them have none in their churches because they have none in their lives. They have no expectancy for God to move on the scene. Oh my, we talk it among ourselves, but we don't blast that out somewhere because that's self-pride. Like God could only do it for one person.
Anybody here believe the last line of this quote? He'd do it for anybody. Anybody that'll believe him. But self-pride cannot accept that quote, that latter part. Self-pride will not allow you. Well, I want her for prayer, but Brother Donnie didn't even pray for people then. He had Brother Gene and Brother Willis and Brother Horn to pray. Oh, you poor little bitty, tansy, wansy thing.
Do you understand why I do that? So your attention will not be on this man right here. You understand why I want to bring other preachers in? Why I want to do that? So your attention. Because that devil hangs around this church. It hangs around the gospel. It hangs around the message. To try to exalt some men. Why? Self-pride. So he said, well, God can only heal me if he prays for me. That's not true. God can heal you, my brother, sister, if you apply faith in the word of God.
Notice in the rising of the sun, I love this statement here. I've been hearing it for the last month and a half, for 2 months. See, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not some big name. Our desire is not boost some church or make more in the Sunday school. Try to bring in, hog tie, push in, offer a picnic party, bring stars or buttons. Or something else like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see him glorified. But now watch how this can merge in with this holy, godly desire. Now watch him separate this. Glorified what? Not with self-pride. So then your desire is to see him glorified. Oh, to see him honored. And when Satan sees that, he says, they're ripe. They're ready. They're ready for the ultimate pride. Spiritual pride. You see, the man or the woman who thanks God, testifies, glory to God, I ain't took a Tylenol for 40 years. They do not think they're giving pride. They do not think they're giving honor to their flesh. They think they're giving honor to the kingdom of God. But what does that do to that poor man who took a Tylenol before church? You're raising yourself above him and making him feel less than you. That he don't have the same faith. You, glory to God, I've never had a surgery on me. So what's that make you? Does that make you a better Christian than the rest of these Christians here who's had to have surgery on their bodies? You see what I'm talking about, friend? How that we can take even the blessings of God or hereditary things that you receive from your parents. Some of you think that God's no better to you than he is the other person. You just wound up with some good genes, pal. You better thank God for every good you got. That don't mean the man who's had 47 surgeries and wears glasses and wears a toupee and a false foot and a false leg and a false eye and a false ear and a false hand. That don't mean God don't love him just as much as he does you. Glory to God! Our desire is to see him glorified. Glorified what? Not with self-pride. But in us. Our lives. To prove he is alive. And living in us. If I can get myself out of the way. Listen to this. So when William Branham. Not even thought of. In the Easter Seal he says it. I don't care if they ever even knew I lived on the earth. You don't have to build some big building in memorial of me when I'm gone. He said, but there's one thing I want them to know. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What $1 million church or millions of dollars of church is not built for the glory of God. You think Robert Schuller built the Crystal Cathedral in California for the glory of the devil? You think
instead of send and dedicate it years ago and say, I dedicate this to Lucifer himself. What denomination is not built, supposedly, on the glory of God? Come on, children. My. But when we do our work for him, is there anything out of it for us? Are you getting a few perks on the side? Or is it costing you? Is it hurting you? Is it come with a great price? You see, for Paul, to know Paul, it cost him. There's a cost of me knowing me. It's a high cost sometimes too. You understand what I'm saying? Now let us return to Paul for a few moments. Paul, for whatever reason, chooses to remain silent about the vision and about the cause of the thorn. And no doubt he was very much misunderstood because of it. You know, it's something about it that people expect a preacher to have perfect health. Preacher ain't never supposed to get sick. He ain't never supposed to get wore out. He ain't never supposed to get tired, depressed. I reckon they think we're in glorified bodies. Well, if I am, I'm greatly disappointed. So you can imagine now in this first church age that Paul had criticism like we cannot imagine. He had the Judaizers, he had those of the Jews, those of the Hebrews, and then he had those on the other side that was so liberal in their view and their perspective of grace, so he called it on every side. Some of the writers or the people even said about him, he noted it in 2 Corinthians, he said that his looks is very bad and his words is puny in our words. You know, he don't have nothing to say. You imagine people saying that about Paul? And yet the thorn that this man was going to bear was actually going to give credit to what they were going to say about him. God knows how to choose our troubles, don't he? Now, actually, I don't know if it took Paul this long to come to an understanding, or if Paul had received it early on and he was not allowed to say anything about it. But he finally come to a spot where he was able to open his soul. No doubt people had told him all through the years, Brother Paul, God bless you, brother. God bless you. Cheer up, brother. One day it'll be over. We're going to be in heaven and oh my, I hope this is going to be over. And he could have told him, that's the reason I've got this. I was in heaven. Amen. Ain't it amazing? You go to heaven and hear unspeakable words and because of it, you get a messenger from the devil. Oh my revelation, my thorn. Folks in this message that claim they have so much revelation, never had no thorn, there's something wrong somewhere. Right. Now notice, Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now watch, Brother Branham, he says, when the supernatural comes upon the mortal being, it causes a conflict with the flesh. So when the supernatural came on Paul and brings him up into that realm, then it must cause a conflict with the flesh since the flesh has not been converted. Notice again he said Paul saw the light in so much it blinded him, he couldn't see for several days. It was such a reality to him he couldn't see. Later on he wrote letters. His eyes bothered him so bad from that until he wrote with great big letters. Now you imagine this man called to be an apostle. Called to write the word of God. Yet your book of Romans was not written by Paul. It was written by another man. Sitting under the tutorship. As Paul told him what to say. Although Paul wrote all the salutations and the greetings. Did you ever notice it's strange why Paul would say with my own hand? With my own hand? Because all of his epistles was not written by his own hand. Because he could not see at times. What a thing for a preacher. Can you imagine coming to church and bringing your notes?
Would you care to read this for me? You imagine that humiliated. And his enemy sitting out there. I said, look at him. He can't even read it. Great servant of God. Great miracle worker. Can't even read. Notice. It says, saying, I've written it with large letters. He couldn't hardly see. He was in jail and he asked the Lord to heal him of it. He consulted him 3 times. What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient. So Paul asked for a miracle and got grace. Maybe you ask for $500 and get 5 and grace. Grace to help you deal with the shortage, 495. My friends, if God is allowing you to go through a financial trial, a physical trial, some kind of trial, look up, look up. He's got a reason in doing that. Then it shows you need help in that area of your life. He knows there's something about you that you need help in that area of your life. Now you can take the route and get an attitude against God. You can get mad against God. Or you can say, God, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on, but you're in charge of this thing. Amen. So Paul prayed and prayed and prayed for years. No answer. He prayed the first time. No answer. Prayed the second time. No answer. Man, how about shouting? I read that. I thought I was the only one that happened to. And when he does pray the third time and get the answer, it's not the answer he wanted to hear. Notice, Brother Bram said, Paul said, then I'll glory in my infirmities. Because it is said, except I would be exalted above the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a messenger of the devil. A thorn in the flesh that buffeted me. He'd get better for a while, and then away they'd go again. Buffet means blow after blow. Like the ship on the sea, you know. The waves buffet it, see. Blow after blow. He'd get better, and then he'd have it again. Then better, and have it again. He said, Lord, what's the matter? You don't take this away from me. He said, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, just keep on. Notice again in Hebrews, he says, if it was just perfect and everything perfect, that I went along or I'd get all puffed up, say, you see nothing wrong with me. The Lord takes care of me, brother. Hallelujah. Then you're getting self-righteous. God has to give you a little something once in a while. It ain't one of them Valentine's Day chocolate boxes that you want with your favorite chocolates. It'll be something you wish you could send to Brother Jim's address. Oh, I'm busy today. Lord, send it to Brother Dan. I've had enough of my troubles. I'll send it to Brother Lance or Brother Darrell or send it to somebody else. Lord, I honestly, I don't need no more trials. God said, yes, you do. Your attitude proves you need more. Because you're not acknowledging them as a gift. A gift. I love the way Brother Ram says this. God has to give you a little something once in a while. To kind of making you up a little. Meeking. Don't you love this theology of this man? Meeking you up a little, you know. Kind of make you realize he's the boss. I reckon there was some kind of boss problem there that we was thinking we was maybe or something. I mean, why would he have to let me know he's the boss? Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because there's many times we want to act like we're the boss. We talk like we're the boss. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You're talking like the boss. You're fixing to get a little meeking. Oh my. You better quit talking like the boss. You better quit acting like the boss. Because the boss is going to let you know who's the boss. Amen.
Oh my. Paul was on his road to Damascus one day. And a great light struck him down. And those men around him didn't see the light. But it struck Paul down and made him blind. He had trouble with his eyes the rest of his life. And he said one time, except I should be exalted above the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me because of the abundance of the revelation. It is thought that Paul had chronic aphthalmia, a disease of the eyes, painful, but at times more repulsive to the onlooker than the one who has it. So it's an inflammation of the eyes. So the man who has it, his eyes would water. You know, Hannibal, different ones down through time, they say had this, what caused them to go blind. Sympathetic ophthalmia. Gets in one eye and then goes to the other. But in this situation, God allowed the luminosity of the pillar of fire to add just enough brilliance that when Paul saw it, it would leave Satan something to work on. Lord have mercy. Friends, God is not the author of sickness. God don't make you sick. God don't even kill you when it comes time for you to cross over. God ain't in the killing business. But he knew, like Jacob, he could make that luminosity just bright enough. And Paul would get over it initially. Oh my. But he knew this revelation lay ahead of him. So he left a weakness in his eyes. Now watch this. The onset of Paul's ailment. 14 years before this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Would have coincided with his entrance into Galatia. Notice what he said when he come to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4 verse 3. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first. Now watch, the infirmity in the flesh. And my temptation which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Why? Because he couldn't hardly see. When this aphthalmia would hit him, his eyes would become so irritated and run, and then they would matter over and they would swell, and you know, each different person would have a little bit different reaction. But the onlooker, now you imagine, you're sitting there in the first century. The prophet of the age is preaching in Happy Valley. The prophet of the age, he's come by and he's preaching at our church. We have to lead him out of the office. And he asked me as a local elder, would I stand up here and read him the scriptures for another Hebrew text? Because he's got a bad case of it. He can't see. Would you have sat there and said, that is a man of God. That is a prophet of God. Or would you sit there in your mind and think, how can he be a servant of God and dealing with that in his body? I seen him lay hands on so-and-so last night and God healed him. I seen him do this. Why don't God heal? I don't understand. But Paul tells them, Galatians, you did not let it hinder you. You received me. I could not even see. And you loved me so much and felt so sorry for me. You would have pulled out your own eyeballs and gave them to me. Notice in Galatians chapter 6 verse 11, Paul says, you see how large a letter I have written to you with mine own hand. You imagine, bless his heart. He was able to write 6 chapters in the book of Galatians. And to him, Lance, it was a great victory. God allowed him to write 6 chapters. Without help. When you look at this large letter, it's how large, which means big letters in size. In Romans 16:21, Timotheus, my fellow worker, Lucius and Jason, and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. The great book of Romans. And Paul was having one of his bad spells. And he couldn't even write it. Lord Jesus, forgive us for complaining, Lord. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 23, verse 2. Paul is brought before the Sanhedrin. Again, he's having another bad spell. His eyes are so bad, he don't even recognize the high priest. The high priest, Ananias, commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? They that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So they've got him before the Sanhedrin and questioned for his doctrine. And it just so happened, he's having a bad spell when he's on trial. So the high priest says, somebody smack him in the mouth! Paul turned around and said, you whited wall, God will smack you! Because Paul looked up at him. He couldn't make out who he was. Why would God let him be on trial this way? Why would God let one of the bad spells hit him then? And have to lead him in. It was a gift. This man knew them scriptures. He could tore the hide off of them. Yes, sir. But no doubt this kind of helped adjusted his attitude somewhat. This kind of helped adjust his attitude. Where he could go in and, well, I'm not so great after all. I guess I'm that old thorn gouging and gouging. Paul, in the close of this, took down and baptized, called upon the Lord, received the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I had an infirmity of the flesh that was given to me, a devil, a messenger of the devil, buffet me. Like to blow, it'd get better. Then it hit him again. I consulted the Lord 3 times and taken away from me. But the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Then he said, except I would be exalted above the abundance of the revelation. He had more of a revelation than Peter, James, John, or any of them. Presentation of my ministry, next page, he says, you see, Paul had a greater ministry than all the rest of the apostles put together. Stand. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. So my friends, I wonder about some of the things that we go through. And the things that we are stuck with. I ain't talking about things that are self-inflicted. I ain't talking about sins. This is not besetting sins we're talking about. This is different than a besetting sin. Paul ain't dealing with a besetting sin. Paul never calls this. Had nothing to do really with him giving into this or that or the other. Except because of the weakness of the flesh. So you wonder about ourselves and we pray and something hits you and you get better and it hits you and you get better. Maybe your body, maybe your finances, it may be your mother-in-law, maybe this and that and the other. Who knows what it can be? You know what I'm saying? Man, if you got a good mother-in-law, you ought to thank God. A lot of folks ain't. What? What did I say? Some folks, it's the boss on their job. For some folks, it's the guy that works by them on the job. Right. Who knows what it'll be.
But I wonder what kind of folks we would be if we could ever get to the place that we could look as Paul and said, because of this, he give unto me. Look at this word, give. It's a gift. To give to one for their benefit, for their good. Paul actually was able by revelation to identify this thing as a gift. A gift. You see, that keeps all grudges away from God. That keeps your attitude constantly adjusted to where you're thinking, you know what? He don't hate me. He loves me. He loves me. Let's bow our heads again if you would. Lord Jesus, we certainly desire to be able to see it in this way as Paul did. Towards the things that you and your wisdom allow us to go through because of necessary things, that we can also look at them as gifts. Help us to be able to discern and separate self-inflicted things, besetting sins and such, away from thorns. Because thorns are not self-inflicted. Thorns are not besetting sins that, or iniquity, something that you know you shouldn't do, but you do. Thorns are in a total separate category. Help us, Lord Jesus. No doubt, dear God, I've bellyached and cried and carried on awful about thorns. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. It's not that we have anything at all that we get proud over like Paul or Brother Branham or in these great preachers in the Message or great churches. But we're still humans. Whether we have a big church or a little church or a big ministry, I could see where some of these men around the Message would certainly have to go through so many things because of the way they're gifted. But we look at ourselves and our church and we think, Lord, we don't have nothing like many of those men. But yet, we're humans. You have given to us and shared with us your great word, which the angels desire to look into. You've whispered things to us in this day that we are such privileged people to hear. And you know how the flesh is, that it can get exalted and think we're special and above other people and better than them. Help us, Lord Jesus. Please, Father. I don't ask for more thorns because I know you and your great wisdom will give me all that I need. But I pray you'd give me grace. Give me grace, Lord. And help me, dear God, that I'll not complain. Father, we look at ourselves and say, I wonder why God won't do this for me and do that for me and do that for me. Lord, help us. Help us that we just commit all those things to your care, knowing that you see all about us and you know money to one person might absolutely ruin them. Having things easy. Maybe I'll say, well, I don't want to be rich. I just want to be able to pay my bills. But maybe you've got a reason for letting them struggle. Help them, Lord. Help each of us, I pray, Father. We need you, Lord Jesus. How many can raise your hands and out and say, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. So Father, whether we're rich, poor, preacher, singer, just a lay member, Lord, help us every day of our lives that we'll learn to get away from this pride, this know-it-all attitude. That does not come from you. Lord, no matter what you can talk about to some people, they always know more about it. They always know more, they're more informed and oh, what a sorry attitude that is, Lord. Help us to realize that is not of the Father. That is of the devil. That attitude comes from Satan. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us. We want to comb our hair. We want to dress clean. We want to dress decent. But help us, Lord, that we'll not have such pride. We want to have a nice vehicle, nice place to live, things like that. But Lord, if I ever see you get a hold to me, I'd sell the place I live in I'd buy a single wide trailer. I'd move down in my vehicle. I'd do whatever I've got to do. Because I don't want nothing getting a hold to me but you. Help us, Lord, that we'll have that attitude. Help me, Lord, that I'll never think I'm something being a preacher. Help us at our church that we'll never think our church is something, Lord. It's only your grace, Lord Jesus. Keep us true. Keep us true, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing Amazing Grace, Harry. You love him with all your heart?
Amen.
You may not be able to say it yet, but maybe you can say it by faith. Where he said, God, by faith, I want to be able to say, thank God for my thorns. Thank God for my thorns. They're gifts. They're gifts. Keep us humble. Keep us true. You mean Paul's new birth never? No. Paul's gift, his knowledge, his understanding? No. A thorn was the only thing that would do. Amazing grace, how sweet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Saved a wretch like me. I this weekend, we're back.